О мій Боже, об'єднай серця слуг своїх і відкрий їм твою велику мету. Хай вони дотримуються твоїх заповідей і перебувають у твоєму законі. Допоможи їм, о Боже, у їх старанні і дозволь їм служити тобі. О Боже, не залишай їх самотніми, а направляй у ходу світлом твоїх знань і втіш їх серця твоєю любов'ю. Воістину, ти помічник їх і Господь.
O thou incomparable God, O thou Lord of the kingdom, these souls are thy heavenly army. Assist them, and with the cohorts of the supreme concourse, make them victorious, so that each one of them may become like unto a regiment and conquer these countries through the love of God and the illumination of divine teachings. O God, be thou their supporter and their helper, and in the wilderness, the mountain, the valley, the forest, the prairies, and the seas, be thou their confidant, so that they may cry out through the power of the kingdom and the breath of the Holy Spirit. Verily thou art the powerful, the mighty, and the omnipotent, and thou art the wise, the hearing, and the seeing. Abdu'l-Baha.
Ya Baha'u'llah, O Signore, spalanca la porta, appronta i mezzi, rendi sicuro il cammino e prepara la via, così che noi possiamo essere condotti verso quelle anime, i cuori delle quali tu hai preparato per la tua causa, a che siano esse guidate verso di noi.
Good morning, Alapa! Yeah. Are you ready for another splendid, magnificent day?
Yeah.
No, but with more convincement. Okay, yes, okay. So, somebody asked, every morning before our devotional part, we have the same PowerPoint every day, to introduce. Take your place. To introduce our devotional part, and somebody asked, which are these pictures? All our these pictures are taken in Iran from one of you here, and her trip in Iran was so interesting, and so she wants to share with all of us her experience, her spiritual experience in Iran. So thank you so much. I was thinking that how is interesting that we can understand which is the prayer even is read in all these strange languages. Really, can you see which strange it is? Italian, German, and so, and this is very interesting. So we can understand which is the prayer, and we can follow the prayer even is in so many different languages. So I want to welcome Mr. Nakhchavani here, please.
Finished the section that we started on yesterday, and I did not also corrections in the text. I did not finish, I did not give you all the necessary corrections. I gave you one correction. Where is it? Oh, here. Oh, yeah. My wife tells me not to apologize for my age, but even if I don't apologize, you see the evidence. I must have left it in the at home. Okay, never mind. We will do the... I think I've made a note here. Maybe I can go. It is in section 2. Page 10 in the penultimate paragraph. Penultimate is the one before the last paragraph. You have to delete in the second line, I think it is, as envisaged by Shoghi Effendi. That has to be deleted. Just cross it out. So this is one correction. Now that today we'll be referring to section number 4, in section number 4 on page 3 of section number 4, in the last paragraph, line 4, the way it is typed is new word, W-O-R-D. It should be new world. You should add the L. On page 4, the second full paragraph, beginning with the words, after 2 years, line 5, you have the word and providence in North America. It should be and provinces in North America. So you keep the V and the I and add N-C-E-S. Then there's one more in this section which needs correction. It is on page 22 of this section, and the last part is entitled Shoghi Effendi's Encouraging Remarks and so on. That part. Line 4, it says, the six-year plan of the Baha'i community. It should be the six-year plan of the British Baha'i community. The word British has been dropped out, so please add British before Baha'i community. And then, three lines down, where it says, while the success of the two-year plan, it should be, while the success of its, change the to its, I-T-S. That takes care of the corrections. Now, yesterday, in section 2, on page 11 of section 2, paragraph 1, I referred to firesides and study circles. And in section 1, the previous day, the previous section, section 1, if you open section 1 on pages 8 and 9, I also refer to 19-day feasts and firesides and things like that. And I thought that I should explain these things in greater detail to you, because it is a little bit difficult to follow these sections, the subject written under two sections. So I'm going to put them together and try to explain to you what is intended here. While talking, so that is my, this is the only point left from section 2 that we have to discuss. About 19-day feasts. If you read the talks of Abdu'l-Bahá, you see that Abdu'l-Bahá, when he was in the United States and he was asked about 19-day feasts, he said, this 19-day feast was established by the Bab in the Bayan. In other words, the whole idea of a 19-day feast is a concept that you find in the Bayan, that Baha'u'llah has confirmed. He has accepted it and included it in his Kitab-e-Aqdas. Now, what does the Bab say? And what does Baha'u'llah say concerning the 19-day feast? The 19-day feast, he says, is the duty of the individual. It is so different from what we are accustomed to in these days. These days, it is not the duty of the individual. We are accustomed to have a 19-day feast, and the local assembly is responsible, and probably there is a committee of the local assembly that looks after the holding of the 19-day feast. But when you go to the original, how this thing developed, you find that it is the duty of the individual. The second point is that you find that in the writings of Baha'u'llah and the Bab about the 19-day feast, there is no problem about inviting non-Baha'is. In other words, you invite non-Baha'is to your home for a 19-day feast. And the purpose is to extend hospitality. That is the purpose. And Baha'u'llah goes on to say that even with a glass of water, but offer something. Even if it should be some water. If you are poor, you cannot provide means and food and refreshments and sweets and whatever, but offer something. This is your home. Offer something, even if it is some water. This is you find in the Kitab-e-Aqdas. Okay? Now, this situation continued. Abdu'l-Bahá added the importance of prayer, of reading from the tablets at the 19-day feast that is held in the home of individuals. And for years and years in Iran, at all 19-day feasts held in homes by Baha'is, they invited non-Baha'is. Non-Baha'is were present. And readings from the writings were read. As a result, it became also not only a place for happiness and hospitality and refreshments and things like that, but it also became an opportunity for teaching. I'm giving you the whole history so that you follow what happened in the Baha'i world. And please follow me in this review of this institution. Okay, then during the period of the ministry of Shoghi Effendi, what did he do? If you remember yesterday, or it was day before yesterday, I told you that Shoghi Effendi, in the foreword to God Passes By, says that one of his functions as guardian was to apply the teachings that applied to individuals, to apply them to institutions. I think I said that to you before. When it came to the 19-day feast, what did he do? 16 months after the passing of Abdu'l-Bahá, he starts now writing letters to the Baha'i world in English and in Persian, spelling out the duties of a local spiritual assembly and how the local assembly should function, how consultation should be held, what the duties of a local spiritual assembly should be, etc., etc. One of the things that he deals with is the 19-day feast. He says it will be henceforth the duty of any local spiritual assembly to organize 19-day feasts. So he is applying an instruction which was to the individual. He's taking that and applying it to this institution of the local assembly, which was now beginning to flourish and to emerge in the eyes of Baha'is and non-Baha'is. Many years passed, and in Iran, because of the previous experience of 19-day feasts, they had 19-day feasts under the supervision of local assemblies, but they continued to invite non-Baha'is. So, 1921, now we are 1931, 32, 33, we are still doing, have invited non-Baha'is to our 19-day feast in Iran. So some of the Baha'is who were familiar with the English instructions of the Guardian to the West, and in these instructions he says, at the 19-day feast, which is organized under the supervision of the local spiritual assembly, only Baha'is should attend. That is in English. So they went to the National Assembly and they said that, why are we having non-Baha'is? This is the text of Shoghi Effendi. They said, but we have been doing this all the time. In fact, they even showed a letter from the guardian in the very early years telling the Persian Baha'is, it is all right for the time being to continue with your practice of inviting non-Baha'is. They produced this text from Shoghi Effendi. But they said, but this is later. From the Guardian. It's in English, it's later. So the matter had to be referred to the Guardian. This is in the early 30s, over 10 years after the passing of Abdul Baha. Are you all with me? Are you following my little story? Yes. It's very important for you to understand this. Shoghi Effendi's answer came, yes, from now on, only for Baha'is. For the 19-day feasts organized under the direction of local spiritual assemblies. So, that's how it was. Alright? So, for years and years and years, in the East and in the West, we continued having 19-day feasts, and I'm sure that it applies to the Baha'i community in Italy, it applies to the communities that you represent. We don't have any more individual responsibility to hold 19-day feasts in our homes. This is the way it stands today. Now, this thing continued until towards the end of Shoghi Effendi's life. Towards the end of Shoghi Effendi's life, then we see Shoghi Effendi saying something new towards the end of his life. He said the importance of firesides. He wrote about the importance of firesides. Now, how firesides came into existence, this is another story. I'm not going to go into that. Firesides only in the sense that I have a house, I hold a meeting in my house, I can do it as I want, when I want, and I have a gathering of Baha'is and non-Baha'is in my house in order to teach the course. This is a fireside in that sense. In fact, he went as far as saying the most important and effective method of teaching is the fireside method. He even wrote that. And I have quoted for you in my notes here. You can see the text. And because at such firesides you extend hospitality. Oh, this was an echo. Back to the Aqdas, back to the Bayan, extend hospitality. The purpose of the 19-day feast was to extend hospitality. So there was this echo, extend hospitality in your home. And then he even goes and says another thing, which is an echo of the Bayan and an echo from the Aqdas. He says every 19 days. And in the Bayan it is every 19 days. In the Aqdas it is 19 days. In the Aqdas it doesn't say on the first day of the month. It says every 19 days. Shoghi Effendi, when he applied it to the local assembly, he added, it is preferable to hold it on the first day of the month. But here now that the fireside was being emphasized, what does Shoghi Effendi do? He says, once every 19 days, not necessarily on the first day of the month. So that by the end of the year, there is an accountant up there registering our activities, they will see that in the home of the Naqshbandis, there were 19 firesides during the year. That is the point, that for each one of us to have in our home a fireside, a meeting, a teaching meeting, extend hospitality, even with a glass of water, if you like. But extend hospitality and teach the course in your home. He revived this part of the texts of the past. So what the Baha'is today are trying to do is to have two types of gatherings every 19 days. One under the supervision, the direction of the local assembly, which is the official 19-day feast, the institutional 19-day feast. Preferably held at the first of the month. Then you have firesides that I have to have in my home, extend hospitality, bring non-Baha'is, and teach the course. You see how this thing has developed? Now, as a result, we have forgotten. We think that the question of fireside is not very important. It is important. The Guardian is telling us it is important. Now, this doesn't mean it should be every 19 days. You can have it every day, if you like. Many have it every week in their homes. It's fine. That 19 times every year is a minimum. It's a minimum. You can have it once every week. Many, many Baha'is all over the world have firesides in their homes once every week, which is a wonderful thing. It covers this requirement. It fulfills this requirement. Now, I want to leave this subject now, and I want to come to the Universal House of Justice and what they are doing under the five-year plan. Because this is all connected. I have made reference to all these things in my notes, but you don't get the clear point because it's a little bit here and a little bit there. You don't see the connection. I'm trying to put all these things together. So now we are living under the five-year plan. And the House of Justice is talking about teaching institutes. We have these institutes and we have core activities. One of the core activities is what? Study circles. Now, Violette and I are, during our trips here in Europe and different parts of the world, we ask them, do you have firesides? Do you know what they answer? Oh yes, we have 6 study circles. In other words, firesides have been forgotten. We think now we are living in a new day and the House of Justice has abolished firesides. Today is the day for study circles and study circles only. And that's a mistake. You see how these 3 things have been twisted, have been misunderstood. Study circles is an institutional thing. It's not an individual thing. Fireside is an individual activity and responsibility in my home to extend hospitality for the purpose of teaching the course. Yes, study circles are also there to invite non-Baha'is. But this does not cancel out my obligation to have fireside. So you see, you have to understand where the study circle is as part of the activities of the community. And I have study circles and I attend study circles and I must attend and do my level best to support it. But then I also have my 19-day feast, which is the official one, and I attend it. And a minimum of every 19 days, if necessary, once every week or every 2 weeks or whatever, in my home, I extend hospitality and teach the course. So you see how the picture has now emerged. And this matter in our travels particularly, we found that these distinctions were not very clear in the minds of the people, of the dear friends. Okay, now we can leave this subject, we can leave section 2, and we can go now, we have done section 3, and we come to section 4. Now, in studying section 4, it is very important for you to have this chart before you, and if you haven't got a copy of this chart, and the person sitting next to you has his own copy, you should look at that chart, because it's very important for us. We don't have the facilities this morning to again project the chart here, but since you have copies of it, you have to look at it very carefully. The heading is the Baha'i cycle, 500,000 years, the top line, and the lower line is the dispensation of Baha'u'llah, 1,000 years minimum. Now, if you look at the chart carefully, you see the heroic age. We are not discussing the heroic age now. We have the ministry of the Bab of Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha. What we are really concentrating on is the formative age. And in the formative age, you see that, as I tried to explain to you the very first day on the screen here, the first part of the formative age is a period from 1921 till 1937, which is 16 years. And during these 16 years, Shoghi Effendi built up the administrative order. And this administrative order, he built it up through the foundations, which is the local assemblies, the national assemblies, and so on. And when the greatest Holy Leaf passed away in 1932, Shoghi Effendi erected a monument for the greatest Holy Leaf. And you are familiar with the picture. You have seen it. Those of you who have been to Haifa, you have visited the resting place of the greatest Holy Leaf. You have three steps at the base. Then you have columns. You have nine columns. And then you have a dome. And when he put this up, he started explaining to the Baha'is, and he actually wrote about it. And I have put all these things in last year's notes. He said, the steps down there are the local assemblies. The columns based on the steps are the national spiritual assemblies. The dome is the Universal House of Justice. So he said, this is a symbol of the administrative order and the future world order. All right. And just a brief departure from the main subject, because it's very important for us to bear these points in mind, although I have discussed them last year, in last year's notes. Ruhi Khanum explained this to us in a little booklet that she wrote, 25 Years of the Guardianship. If you have not seen this book, you better inquire and read it. You find it also published in one of the volumes of the Baha'i World. I can't remember which volume it is, but it has been published also, as I said, in one of these volumes. Now, Ruhi Khanum, when the 25 Years of the Guardianship occurred, she wrote this thing, this article, and at the very beginning of the article, she makes a very important point. She said that after the passing of Abdul Baha, members of Abdul Baha's family as well as ordered believers, experienced Baha'is from East and from the West, suggested to the Guardian, he was only 24 years old, suggested to him that as he is young, and since Abdul Baha had provided for Hands of the Cause to be appointed to help him, and as he has also provided, and Baha'u'llah before Abdul Baha, for the Universal House of Justice to be elected, certainly the time is ripe for him to take steps for the election of the Universal House of Justice and the appointment of the Hands of the Cause as soon as possible to help him. He is alone, he is young, he is inexperienced. What does Shoghi Effendi do? He listens. And then gradually in his letters he explains. And this is the point that Ruhi Khanum makes in her article. He says, Shoghi Effendi argument was this, that the Universal House of Justice is the dome. How can he have a dome suspended in mid-air? He had to have the foundations first. This was why he was emphasizing the importance of local assemblies and how they should function. That they delegates had to be elected for the convention, for the national convention. Statistics had to be drawn up by local assemblies to see the number of believers, adult believers, because delegates had to be allocated according to the numerical strength of each area. So statistics was important. Delegates had to be elected. A national convention has to be held. Then there should be an election of the National Spiritual Assembly. Then when we have enough National Spiritual Assemblies throughout the world, then we put the dome. So this point is explained by Ruhi Khanum in this article. So you see, coming back to our subject, it is that here in this chart, you see the rise of the administrative order. For 16 years, Shoghi Effendi kept on telling us, consolidate your local assemblies, learn how to form a national assembly. He trained us, he helped us to understand how this system is going to work. Then he does the seven-year plan, the first seven-year plan. As you see, it is from 1937 till 1944. And it is one country, it is the United States of America, only. But the importance of it is that it is the first organized teaching campaign undertaken any time during Baha'i history. During the entire period of the Heroic Age, we did not have teaching plans. During the first part of the formative age, we did not have teaching plans. We had teaching, yes, but in a personal way, in an individual way. Violette told us yesterday about Martha Root, for example. She told us about Roy Wilhelm. The day before, she had told us about Mrs. Maxwell. All these activities were done. In what way? Under a teaching plan? No. Under the overall, if you like, tablets of the divine plan, yes. But as individual efforts undertaken by individual Baha'is, with the encouragement of the World Center, with the encouragement of Shoghi Effendi, sometimes he would stretch his hand and even call on people, you go and do this. But we did not have an organized campaign of teaching until we got to the year 1937. And then one community only, he singled out the American community. And this is why he used to say that the cradle of the faith is Iran, the cradle of the administrative order is the United States. He used the same term, cradle. The cradle of the administrative order is the United States. And then the seven-year plan was part of this activity of an institution, a national institution, engaged in the teaching work in an organized way. When this thing happened, he closed the epoch. He said, the epoch has come to an end. We now have an example. We have consolidated our institutions on the local and national levels. We have 8-9 national spiritual assemblies. And we have had the experience of at least one organized teaching campaign in one country. This is a new epoch, start a new epoch. Closed the first epoch, said we are now in the second epoch. Now, if you look at your plan, you see that there is a very narrow column called respite. And there is a footnote to say that this respite was for the United States. Other national assemblies picked up. And as I think I told you this before, that the British community was among the first during the respite period to come forward and start their teaching plan. How are we time-wise?
Peace day.
20 minutes. So, now, this period, I want to say a few words about that narrow column, which is called respite. If you remember, I gave you the meaning of respite. Respite means a period of rest, a period of relief from duties, a period of calm and quiet and so on, to prepare yourself for another campaign. So that's the meaning of respite. So he told the American Baha'is that I'm giving you now, you now have a two years of respite. All right, but this epoch, because of the respite, because of the fact that it took some time for national assemblies to get excited about teaching plans. When you read the writings of Shoghi Effendi during this period, whether he is writing in Persian or whether he's writing in English, you see that he is flexible about the beginning of the new epoch. He doesn't always say 1944 is the end of the epoch. From 44 onwards, we start a new epoch. He says it sometimes, but not always. At other times, he says, now it is 1945 during the respite period. We are beginning to enter into the second epoch. 1946, again, you find references. We are now entering into the second epoch. He was flexible because he wanted gradually. That shows you the wisdom of the Guardian, not his rigidity. He wanted to warm up, to prepare the Baha'i world. So he didn't want them to feel that they are way behind. They say, no, we're just beginning, you know, it's just the start of this new epoch. So you have to remember this flexibility in the Guardian's work. But when it came to the year 1946, then he made the formal announcement that now the American Baha'i community is entering the second seven-year plan. You see? And it was during the respite period, as well as during the 7 years that followed, in other words, during 9 years, he was gradually nudging, urging, encouraging national assemblies to move. See what the Americans are doing. You move. Don't you want to do the same thing? I'll talk later on this morning to you about this policy of the Guardian. And if I don't say it, please remind me about it. He quite often used to say about the importance of the Baha'i communities to vie with each other. Now, vie is written V-I-E, to vie. To vie means to compete. So he used this policy of one community learning about another community, and he was the one who to tell them, don't you see how they are going ahead? Don't you want to do the same thing? That was one of his policies. Maybe if there is time, I can explain it a little bit more further. Now, the second seven-year plan was announced, and he announced it, if you look at your notes, on page 6 of my notes, where it's the top of it is the second North American seven-year plan, and the last paragraph is in capital letters. It's in capital letters, and it begins with "Time ripe, events pressing, hosts on high sounding signal." Now, Shoghi Effendi, remember this is 1946. 1946 was 1 year after the end of the Second World War. Shoghi Effendi, if there is time, we will discuss these things in greater detail. He wanted things to be done not today, but yesterday. He wanted things to be done immediately. Whatever he wanted to do, it had to be done. He had a feeling of urgency, of immediacy, that there was no time to lose. And there are so many evidences in what Shoghi Effendi, the way he carried out his duties. So, if he were to write a letter to the American NSA, it would take 2 weeks. And as this was soon after the World War and there were lack of communication and so on, so he resorted to cables. Now, cables to start a 7-year plan for the American community with a cable. It's not easy. Look, the way it is, if you read it, it's very difficult to read. Very difficult. Why? Because it is written in what we call in English in cablese. Cablese became a language different from the English ordinary language. What is cablese? Cablese is the English language used in cables and telegrams, but you drop prepositions, you drop articles, whether definite or indefinite, you drop conjunctions. Why? For economy. Because it was very expensive. Because they counted the words. If you have a cable with 6 words, you paid for 6 words. If it was 7 words, you had to pay extra word for that extra word. So now, when Shoghi Effendi is sending a cable to the American Baha'i community, it's 2 pages. So if every word and every comma had to be added, very, very expensive. So there was a system in the world at that time which was known as LT. I don't know whether you know these things or remember these things. LT means late telegram. Late telegram. You could send a cable as an LT at a lower rate than an ordinary cable that you send with 6 words and 7 words immediately you wanted to send it. That at that very moment it would go. LT meant all the urgent cables would go at the end, at night, then they send the LT. Shoghi Effendi did not mind, but he wrote the cable in the, during the day for it to be sent at night, but it should be sent at night. It had to go at night so that in the morning it would be in the United States. So he sent his cables by LT. LT gave you a cheaper rate. The minimum for LT was 22 words in those days. You had to have a message of at least 22 words. But anything above 22 words was at a lower rate than the regular cables. So that's why you have these cables. He has dropped all the things. Now, what did the American NSA do when they received these cables? They realized that the American friends would not understand. So what were they going to do? They added the, what they thought were the missing words. So, for example, they put here, time ripe. Okay? Time is ripe. So they put is in parentheses. When they published it, they put it in parentheses. And they put the at the beginning. The parentheses, time, this is the words of Shoghi Effendi, is, in parentheses, ripe. So the friends knew time ripe, it was Shoghi Effendi, and those that was in the parentheses were the National Spiritual Assembly. And they filled in the missing words. Now what happened? They made mistakes. They couldn't understand. For example, they chose the wrong preposition. Shoghi Effendi had in mind, for example, for the so-and-so. He dropped for, and he dropped the article the. Now, the American NSA is sitting and say, what is missing here? Of the. Now, when you put of the, it changes the meaning. Than for the. So Shoghi Effendi had the problem. After the thing was published, he would sit down and carefully look at these insertions by the National Assembly. And we have letter after letter from the Guardian, and sometimes a cable, if it was urgent, to the American NSA, line so and so should be of thee, not for thee, and etc., etc. He would correct. See how much trouble he had to go through. This is a big subject. I don't want, because there are many other ramifications about this whole question of cables. I'm just telling you these only for you to have the patience when you read these cables to remember that there are letters that have been omitted and that you have to have the imagination and the understanding to fit in those words. Okay. But this is the way it went. The way that you have it here is the way. So as you see, it has, you have a whole, almost one full page on page 4, on page 6 and page 7, in which he announces what the goals should be of the second 7-year plan. All right. Now, I only quoted for you a portion of this long cable. There is a second part to this long cable that I did not put it here. But after I finished all this, I said to myself, in the revised copy that I hope to revise all these things for you in the, for the future, that I will include the last part of the cable as well. So I am asking Bahia to come here, please, and to read for you the last part of the cable.
Upon success, 7-year plan depends launching after respite 3 brief years. Yet more momentous, 3rd 7-year plan, which when consummated through establishment, structure, administrative order, remaining sovereign states and chief dependencies entire globe must culminate in and be fittingly commemorated through worldwide celebrations marking centennial formal assumption by Baha'u'llah prophetic office associated by Abdu'l-Bahá Daniel's prophecy and world triumph Baha'i revelation signalizing termination initial epoch evolution plan whose mysterious resistless processes must continue shed ever-increasing luster on successive generations both formative golden ages faith Baha'u'llah and I have been asked to reread the first two lines upon success 7-year plan depends launching after respite 3 brief years yet more momentous 3rd 7-year plan.
Yes, ma'am. Now, in the revised version of these notes, we will include this passage as well. I would like to make some comments about this, but as Bahia is here, I want her to read something else, and then I will make my comments. He sent this. Then, soon after this cable, just about maybe 2-3 weeks later, he wrote a 14-page letter explaining what this cable was all about in great detail. And then in this 14-page letter, he urged them to arise. And now, just to show you the type of language that Shoghi Effendi used, the strength and the power with which he called on the believers to sacrifice everything for the love of Baha'u'llah, to arise, to serve the cause, to pioneer, to promote the interests of the faith, to put the cause first, to respond to the call of Abdu'l-Bahá in the tablets of the divine plan. So I have extracted just one small paragraph from that 14-page letter which shows the fervor of the guardian in his appeal to the friends. And I will ask Viola to Bahia to also read that paragraph.
However dark the outlook, however laborious the task, however strange and inhospitable the environment, however vast the distances that must be traversed, however annoying the restrictions, however listless and confused the minds of the people and races contacted, however trying the setbacks that may be suffered, we must under no circumstances either falter or flinch. Our reliance on the unfailing grace of an all-loving, all-preserving, ever-sustaining, ever-watchful providence must, however much we may be buffeted by circumstances, remain unshaken until the very end. Shall we not, when hardships seethe about us and our hearts momentarily quail, recall the ardent desire so poignantly voiced by Abdu'l-Bahá in those immortal tablets that enshrine forever his last wishes for his chosen disciples? O
that I could travel, even though on foot and in utmost poverty, to these regions, and raising the call of Yah Baha'u'llah in cities, villages, mountains, deserts, and oceans, promote the divine teachings. This, alas, I cannot do. How intensely I deplore it. Please God, ye may achieve it.
We will continue afterwards.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now we know that we don't have any excuse to don't understand the messages of Universal House of Justice, because they send by email and so properly with all, every word. So now we don't have any excuse to misunderstand the messages. Thank you so much. And we have our break till 10:15.